I love holding this. And Jesus said, take and drink all of it. May we just bow and go into God's presence, please. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. We thank you for the experience that we can have of sitting at your table to remember what you did. Living in such the hustle and bustle of our activities, Father, sometimes we just don't take the moments that are necessary to review in our mind the suffering of your Son, Jesus. Nor do we sometimes even appreciate the price that was paid for our salvation. But I thank you, God, that before the foundations of the world were even laid, Jesus was slain for me and for each one of these dear people. And for all who would come and believe and receive and accept what was done on Calvary, the ransom is in effect. And I thank you, Jesus, for paying the price, for redeeming my soul. We bless you, Lord God, for Jesus, who was the living Word, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we thank you for the written Word that we can now turn to this day and see what you're saying. And we want you to bless us through this open Word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ways that God speaks to His children is through the Bible. That's why your personal copy of God's Word is so important. Because there was a time in history when the Word of the Lord was scarce, it says. The Word of the Lord was scarce. Well, today the Word of the Lord is not scarce because every home has at least one Bible which contains the precious Word of God. And we thank God for His precious Word because He has chosen to reveal Himself through the Word. He's chosen to tell us some things through the Word. And in this series of sermons on God's meteorology, we're seeing how He is speaking to us through the Word, examples that are common to us, for example, in the clouds. And in every one of these sermons, Job is our meteorologist of the morning or of the evening or whenever we're going to review or study. Because as we turn on the evening news, not only do we hear the news of what is happening, which is this, the good news, but we always hear the report from the meteorologist, and he is saying what the signs of the time are showing us. And so Job is our meteorologist because in Job it said in our first message, who can understand the spreading of the clouds? And we spoke that sometimes we go through cloudy situations. There are the clouds that come our life to us, but we are to remember that the Word says, in the cloud there is life. In the cloud, there is God's glory. In the cloud, there is direction. In the cloud, there is protection. And then Job also reminded us about the rain. The scripture tells us through Job that he opens the storehouse and he lets the rain fall. And we spoke about the rain being in two areas. The rain of God's judgment, too much or too less in judgment. And secondly, the rain of God's blessings. We also turned to Job and we saw what he was talking about, the dew. He said, does the dew have a father? And other scriptures about the dew. And we said, and I heard you yourself say, in the quietness and absorption brings the dew. God wants to give you his heavenly dew, but you got to get quiet to receive the dew. Quiet yourself before him. So the scripture tells us about people who are giving weather forecasts. My goodness, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, Jesus himself, the meteorologist, said, you see the sun is setting and you say, we're going to have fine weather because the sky is red. And early in the morning you say, it's going to rain because the sky is red and dark. Jesus now says, even you can be the meteorologist. You can predict the weather by looking at the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs concerning these times. And then Paul once, recorded in Acts 27, told the people on board the ship, he said, I perceive that the weather's going to be pretty bad. There's going to be loss of life. There's going to be loss of cargo. So two places in the scripture where it actually gives us weather prediction. Today we turn to thunder, lightning, and hail in the Word of God. And we want to look at these stories that have thunder and lightning and rain. And as we review these stories that have been preserved from the Word, then we're going to be able to see the reason for the thunder and the lightning and the hail. Lightning was very common in the winter storms in Syria and in Palestine. And to that end, Job says in Job 37, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, something about the thunder. Job chapter 37, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, with the star after 4. The storm makes my heart beat wildly. We've all been in great storms, and Job says in chapter 37, the storm makes my heart beat wildly. Listen, all of you, to the voice of God, to the thunder that comes from his mouth. He sends the lightning across the sky from one end of the earth to the other. Then the roar of his voice is heard, the majestic sound of thunder, and all the while the lightning flashing. At God's command, amazing things happen. Wonderful things that we cannot understand. He sends the thunder. He sends the lightning. And in Job chapter 38, verse 22, we find the third component of this message, which is the hail. And Job says, Job 38, verse 22, have you ever visited the storerooms where I keep the snow and the hail? I keep them ready for times of trouble, for days of battle and war. While God has put into effect the principles that make for weather, people never forget that God controls the weather. And God can, at his command, according to the word, send the thunder, send the lightning, and send the hail. He would not do it just at random, although it appears most of the time that happens at random. Just because the cause and effect principles in which the earth is living and existing make it happen. But sometimes there is no cause or reason for this. And Job says, God keeps, for example, hail ready in times of trouble, for days of battle and war. God will say, those people need some hail. And the hail comes. And we're going to look today at some of the things that God has said comes about as a result of thunder, lightning, and hail. They're interesting stories. And they're stories preserved so that we, as we read them, can say to ourselves, God, what are you saying to me the next time it does thunder? What are you saying to me, if anything, the next time there is lightning? What are you saying when I see hail? Are you trying to tell me something? Or does this happen just in the past and today it's not relevant at all? If you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 9, verse 22, we're going to find that the terror is coming through the thunder and the hail. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22, following, is our first story. It has to do with the seventh plague that God gave to the Egyptians. Exodus chapter 9, verse 22. Moses raised his stick toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning, and this struck the ground. People, this did not happen until his servant lifted up his stick, his cane. He lifted it up toward the sky, and the Lord sent, it just was not happening on that day, the Lord sent thunder, hail, and lightning, and it struck the ground. Now, I want you to see this picture. The Lord sent a heavy hailstorm with lightning flashing back and forth. It was the worst storm that Egypt had ever known in all of its history. This just wasn't something in the farmer's almanac that happened. No, this happened specifically because God sent it. All over Egypt, the hail struck down everything in the open, including all the people and all the animals. The hail beat down all the plants in the fields, broke all the trees. And I remember a number of years ago, right where we live, we had this horrible hail and snow storm that settled upon King City and its area. And many of the trees up in Hunter Liggett were not accustomed to this, and their branches couldn't hold the heavy hail and the accumulated snow and ice. And the limbs cracked and broke, and there is still debris up in Hunter Liggett you can see that's not been collected from that storm 10 plus years ago. This storm beat down all the plants in the fields and broke the trees. The region of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, was the only place where there was no hail. Can you imagine the picture? You're living at 229 Carlson Street, and it is just a beautiful day, but at 221 Carlson, and there is no such street number, 221 Carlson, it's just hailing down. Yes, God sends the sunshine on the just and the unjust, but here he sent the hail, the thunder, the lightning, specifically to a group of people, and the Israelites, where they lived, had no hail. The king sends for Moses and Aaron and says, this time I've sinned. The Lord is in the right and my people and I are in the wrong. Pharaoh says, please, would you please pray to God? We have had enough of the thunder and we've had enough of this hail. I promise to let you go. You don't have to stay here any longer. So story one is about the thunder, the lightning, and the hail that comes about as a result of God telling the people of the terror that is coming, and the terror certainly came. After a while, another story in God's word about the thunder and the lightning came to those people, and it comes to us from Exodus chapter 19. And many of you are familiar with this story too, or in the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel. But did you know that the Ten Commandments came as an accompany with the thunder and the lightning? Thunder and strokes of lightning. Exodus 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. A thick cloud appeared on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast was heard. All the people in the camp trembled with fear. Moses led them out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All the mountain Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had come down on it in the fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace. The people trembled violently. And notice here, the sound of the trumpet. Now, the things that caused the people to be so afraid, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was the cloud, and there was the trumpet sound. And the trumpet sound became louder and louder and louder. And the people trembled. And then God answered him with what? Thunder. It wasn't in the almanac. It was because God decided to speak with thunder, the law. And this is the law coming, Exodus chapter 19. God spoke in thunder. Now, this wasn't the last time God spoke with thunder, because in the New Testament, Jesus on one occasion in John chapter 12, verse 27, was standing around with a group of people, and here we have the voice coming. John chapter 12, verse 27. John chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus is about to speak regarding his death. He says, my heart's troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, don't let this hour come upon me, but that's why I came in the world, so that I might go through this hour of suffering. Father, bring glory to your name. And then a voice spoke from heaven, I have brought glory to it, and I will do it again.
Verse 29, the crowd standing there heard the voice, and some of them said, "It was thunder." It was God speaking. Another said, "An angel spoke to him." So God spoke audibly to the people, but it was like thunder. It was in the thunder that God spoke. You know, God can well speak to you next time you're in thunder. There could be a message to you. Just like in Matthew 24, verse 23, we have here the second coming, but it's accompanied with thunder again. Matthew 24, verse 23. Jesus is talking to the people now, and he says, if anybody says to you, "Look, here's the Messiah," or "There he is," don't believe him. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear. They will perform great miracles and wonders in order to deceive even God's chosen people, if possible. He says, listen, I've told you before it happens. Or if people should tell you, "Look, he's out in the desert," don't go out there. If you say, "Look, he's hiding here," don't believe it. For Jesus said, the Son of Man will come. This is Jesus now, the Son of Man, will come like lightning, which flashes across the whole sky from the east to the west. It speaks of Jesus is coming again, and it's going to be in lightning, like lightning, the flashes. This is how Jesus is going to come when God has ordained him to come. So, as we look at this God's meteorology in terms of what Job says with the thunder and the lightning and the hail, we speak in judgment as I read in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 6. It speaks about the fate of Jerusalem. It's going to come with the lightning, with the thunder, and the hail. Here we have all three, lightning, thunder, and hail. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, it may be a good scripture to turn. Let me just read to you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, the people did something they shouldn't have done, and God replied with the thunder and the lightning and the hail. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 12 it is. The people said, "We want a king to rule over us." The people of Israel had not had a king up to this time. Now they say, "We want a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king." And then in verse 13, "Now here is the king you choose. You asked for him, and now the Lord's given him to you. All will go well with you if you honor the Lord your God and serve him and listen to him and obey his commands. But if you don't listen to the Lord, if you disobey his commands, he will be against you and your king. So then, stand where you are." Now, get the picture, people. Stand where you are, and you will see the great thing which the Lord is going to do. It's the dry season, isn't it? Everybody says yes. And so here we have weather being affected by prayer. Weather is affected by prayer. Even today, weather is affected by people who pray. The people came to the church, they were praying for the end of the drought in the farming community. The deacons were there, the people of the church, there were some children present too. They came for the express purpose of praying for rain. A little girl came with an umbrella. And she was laughed at by one of the older people in the church. "Why'd you bring an umbrella?" And her reply was, haven't we been summoned together to pray for rain?" The little faith of a girl, well, it did rain after they prayed, and this is where it happened here too. You stand where you are and you'll see the great thing which the Lord's going to do. Isn't it the dry season? Everybody says yes. He says, "I'm going to pray and the Lord's going to send thunder and rain. When this happens, you will realize that you committed a great sin against the Lord when you asked him for a king." And Samuel prayed, and on that same day, the Lord sent thunder and rain. Here we have just the thunder. So weather is affected by prayer. In the Revelation, and in this case, it's about judgment. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, the scripture tells us that there's going to come a time in the future when we're going to have a lot of results from the sky and in the hail, and it's going to be because of judgment. Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, the angel took the incense container, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it on the earth. There was rumblings and peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And then in chapter 16, we find in verse 18, Revelation 16, verse 18, there were flashes of lightning, there were rumblings and peals of earthquake, and a terrible earthquake such as man has never seen before. If you'll go down to verse 21, huge hailstones, each weighing as much as 100 pounds, or 114 pounds in King James, fell from the sky on the people who cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because it was such a terrible plague. The Bible tells us that there has been two hailstorms in history. In Exodus 9, when we looked at, there was thunder and lightning and hail, and the flashes of lightning hit the ground, and it ran on the ground, the lightning did, and the hail fell. And then the other, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, this was an occasion where God, in keeping with what he said in the book of Job would do, he just decided to end the battle by sending his hail. Joshua chapter 10, verse 10 and verse 11. On that day the Lord gave the men of Israel victory over the Amorites. More were killed by hailstones than by Israelites. So when Job said, God keeps his hail in a storehouse, and he will use that hail in battle, he will send his terror, well, he did on that occasion. So we have two cases of history where hail came, and we have four that's going to come. After the first trumpet, the seventh vial, and the battle of Armageddon. Now people, when I just read that scripture about the hailstones falling that weighed, I mean, I don't know how big a stone has to be 114 pounds, but it has to be quite large. Some scoffers say that's impossible that a hailstone that big would fall. Like, we're familiar with hail on occasions here where we live, and it's little the size of a pea. It falls on your windshield, and the windshield wiper puts it away. But God in his terror, someday, according to Job, will send the hailstones. Now, the hail that we see here could not kill anybody. But in Joshua's day, the hail fell, and it killed people. And for the scoffers that would say, hailstorms can't produce that great, I remind you to remind them that in 1492 in the Upper Rhine, a hailstone fell that weighed 260 pounds. One stone. I don't know how big it had to be. Ice is heavy. 260 pounds. In 1510, 1,200 stones fell in Italy, and some were 120 pounds. The scripture we just read said it's going to happen 114 pounds. In 1762, in a place called Verona, 200 fell that weighed 300 pounds. So it is possible that God can say, I will spew it out of my storehouse because of judgment. Now, we've looked at these interesting stories, but I want to conclude with just touching upon the two that we looked at, one having to do with the law and one having to do with judgment. Would you turn in your Bibles, in the Pew Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 20. It's on page 87 in the Pew Bible. And it was amid thunder and lightning that God spoke the commandments. And some Christians, it would seem, believe that the Ten Commandments are no longer any good. I mean, they're so old, my goodness, let's get some new ones. If you will look on page 87 in the Pew Bible, Exodus chapter 20, I want you to read with me to review just what these commandments are. And people, we are under obligation as Christians to live under these commandments. I want you to read with me the first 17 verses. Together. Verse 1. God spoke, and these were his words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt,
where you were slaves. Worship no god but me. Do not make for yourself images of anything in heaven or on earth or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to any idol or worship it, because I am the Lord your God, and I tolerate no rivals. I bring punishment on those who hate me and on their descendants down to the third and fourth generation. But I show my love to thousands of generations of those who love me and obey my laws. Do not use my name for evil purposes, because I, the Lord your God, will punish anyone who misuses my name. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. On that day, no one is to work, neither you, your children, your slaves, your animals, nor the foreigners who live in your country. In 6 days, I, the Lord, made the earth, the sky, the seas, and everything in them, but on the seventh day, I rested. That is why I, the Lord, blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Respect your father and your mother so that you may live a long time in the land that I'm giving you. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not desire another man's house. Do not desire his wife, his slaves, his cattle, his donkeys, or anything else that he owns. You can translate that into modern English in some of those places, the cattle, house, the donkeys, the cars, and things, RVs, and things of that nature. These are the Ten Commandments that were given amid the thunder and amid the lightning. But people, sometimes we live as if, wow, we don't have to go by the Ten Commandments. I wonder when we're going to believe that it applies to us. The coming of the law. And then second, in closing, the coming of judgment. It is with the thunder, and it's with the lightning, and it's with the hail that it comes. Tomorrow, it will be 45 years since the dropping of the bomb, that atom bomb, when on that fateful morning, the bomb bay doors of an airplane slowly opened and released its deadly weapon. And tomorrow we have the 45th anniversary of that. 3 days later, when the bomb fell on Nagasaki at 11:20 in the morning, a missionary there wrote these words. She said, I was with my husband in the compound with some other people, and we were there in the room studying the word. And all of a sudden, a bright light, brighter than the sun, shot across the room, accompanied by a tremendous blast. And we all were knocked on the floor. And furniture was displaced, books came out of the bookcase. A lot of unusual things happened. One of my friends who was standing there with eyeglasses on had the eyeglasses left on, but the lens disappeared. Never saw him again. Another guy had his glasses all twisted up. Her husband received a lot of cuts and bruises, but this is the point she wants to make, that I make regarding the judgment. People dressed in black suffered more from the fallout of that atom bomb fall than the people dressed in white. And there was a sign outside that compound, lettered in black, written on a white background. The black letters were completely obliterated, but the white suffered no harm from the blast. When the bomb, the deadly bomb of the judgment day comes, people, amid the thunder and the lightning and the hail, the people that are blessed in blackness of sin, despair, themselves are going to suffer. But the people who have the white robes of righteousness are not going to suffer. Because that's just the way it says in the guidebook. If you don't have a white robe of righteousness, you can get it by coming to Calvary and get the white robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to you by your accepting what he did upon Calvary, so that when the judgment day does come, you will have the protection that you need. It is coming. That is the judgment. And in the meantime, the law has come, and against the law, we try to place our life.
and we say, this is the word, this contains the law. It is a mirror, the word says. I look into it to see myself, to see how I am keeping the law. And I trust that you will too. Make it your mirror. And the next time you hear thunder, the next time you see lightning, and the next time you maybe experience hail, you may stop and ask, is this just happening? Or is God making it happen? And when a building gets struck by lightning, oh, it's just the freakness of nature. We can wonder. And when a person is standing in the field and he gets struck by lightning and killed, we say, oh, it's just one of those things that happened. We could reevaluate that. Is that right? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Let's never underestimate God's word that comes through thunder and lightning and hail. Pray with me, would you? Father, you are still God. Fact, let God speak. He has used weather to get attention, and he has used weather to get messages across. And God can still speak because God is still God. And Father, as we pull together this time of being together, when we have praised you and we've worshiped you and we've sat at the Lord's Supper and we've heard your word, we want to go away knowing that it is well with us in keeping the Ten Commandments. And as we have broken them, we would appropriate the blood of Jesus and we would say even now, God, forgive me for breaking the law. I have sinned. I thank you that you will forgive me for sinning. And keep me aware of not only the judgment that's coming, but the day-by-day judgment, because we are daily being judged by God. So help us to align ourselves, Father, just to align ourselves with the Word and with you. In Jesus' name, amen.